Well, Westminster Confession, chapter 18, paragraph 1. Westminster Confession, chapter 18, paragraph 1. Although hypocrites and other unregenerate men may vainly deceive themselves with false hopes and carnal presumptions of being in the favour of God and the state of salvation, which hope of theirs shall perish, yet such as truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love him in sincerity, endeavouring to walk in all good conscience before him, may in this life be certainly assured that they are in the state of grace, and may rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which hope shall never make them ashamed. So, assurance of salvation, and our theme this morning is true assurance possible. True assurance possible. That's what this paragraph is teaching. It's going on later to deal with what that assurance is, how it comes about. But at this point, the main thing is that true assurance is possible. And it deals, first of all, with false hopes. So that's our first point. False hopes. Although hypocrites and other unregenerate men may vainly deceive themselves with false hopes and carnal presumptions of being in the favour of God and a state of salvation. These false hopes are not based upon the word of God. They are based upon wishful thinking or distortion of the word of God. And because they are not based upon the truth, they will inevitably end in disappointment. The first passage given is Job 8:13-14. Job 8:13-14. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Here, the hypocrite, he forgets God, and yet in his delusion, he assumes that all will be well in the end, even though he forgets God. And, of course, there's a great deal of that kind of wishful thinking around today, that somehow everything will be all right. Religion is okay when it comes to a funeral, but for the rest of the time, there is no thought of God. And such delusions are with us in abundance. Then Micah 3:11. Micah 3:11. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. They lean upon the Lord not in the sense of a true faith, but in the sense of comforting themselves that all will be well. The Lord will accept them in the end. And the false teachers encourage false hopes. At funeral services today, how many distinguish between those who go to heaven and those who don't? There are no qualifications declared on who goes to heaven. It's as if everyone will end up in heaven in the end. The one departed, irrespective of any sign of faith in Christ or not, and everyone else will end well. But that assumption has no basis in the Word of God. And the people in Micah's time, they had the temple, they had its ordinances, Surely nothing could go wrong. No one could end up under the judgment of God, the wrath of God, when they lived in such a religious place with so much religion around. Deuteronomy 29, we'll read verse 18 to 20. Deuteronomy 29, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Here, just hearing the word of God that condemns him, and yet in his heart saying, well, no, really everything will be all right, and the Lord will bless me. John 8, verse 41. John 8, verse 41. John chapter 8, verse 41. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. They've defended themselves by appealing to Abraham as their earthly father, and therefore God was their heavenly father, so they argued. This is a more sophisticated self-delusion, taking scripture and misusing it and twisting it, misusing the promise. The promise to Abraham's seed was only to be fulfilled if they kept the covenant and embraced the gospel as it is set, what was set forth to them. So our frequent group text, Hebrews 4, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. These Jews hadn't faced up to the fact that in their unbelief, despite all their knowledge of Scripture and of what their misuse of the promises of God, God had not promised them anything good in their unbelief. Because they are not all Israel which are of Israel, Romans 9, verse 6. And then our second point is that all hopes shall perish. All false hopes shall perish. The confession says, which hope of theirs shall perish? Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So that even the most sophisticated, the most refined kind of false hope, here is someone. He's not like those that openly forget God. He's not like those who are irreligious. He's done many things, and in the name of Christ. But he's not born of the Spirit, and he doesn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. And so he is rejected. So even the most well worked out false hope will perish. The Lord will not be fooled. Isaiah 28, verse 15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And then verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Jeremiah 23, verse 16 to 19. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. So, no matter how much false teachers give false assurance to unbelieving men, the Lord will fulfill his own word, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But then thirdly, there is still the real thing. There is still the real thing. Yet such as truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love him in sincerity, endeavouring to walk in all good conscience before him, may in this life be certainly assured that they are in the state of grace. There are true believers, and there are true believers who can be assured of being in a state of grace. They may be assured. It doesn't mention believers who may be in a backslidden state, because backsliders generally don't have assurance of salvation. They're still safe if they're born of the Spirit, but they generally lack the assurance of it. That's not to say that every doubting Christian is backslidden, but it is saying that those who are backslidden generally lack this assurance. So it says, such as truly believe in the Lord Jesus and love him in sincerity, endeavouring to walk in all good conscience before him. So there is such a thing as real assurance that is solid, that is grounded in the word of God, and that is a blessing from God above. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Here the evidence of a holy life. Now, you may say, well, surely the believer, the holiest of believers, are very conscious of their sins. And that is true. But that sin consciousness should not be allowed to obliterate from the mind the reality of any genuine holiness. We're never obliged to believe what is not true. And if it is true that notwithstanding our sins, there is within us some holiness, some desire for God and for Christ and to glorify him, then that is a sign of being a genuine believer. It's not humility to deny the effects of God's grace. It is humility to be realistic, to think soberly of ourselves, but it is not humility to distort beyond reality. If there are effects of divine grace, saving grace in us, then it is quite right to take note of that and to be assured from the Word of God that we have been born of the Spirit and brought to genuine faith in Christ. 1 John chapter 3, several verses here, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So love of the brethren is a mark of God having saved us. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. And again in verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So assurance is definitely possible, as verse 24 makes very clear, and on the basis of the evidence, that's not the only thing, but the evidence of a new nature, these things show that we have passed from death to life. And then fourthly, never put to shame. Never put to shame. This assurance, this genuine assurance, will never be disappointed. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And then verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it flourishes when there is assurance of salvation. This hope is not something that we use the word hope in a rather weaker sense now. We hope for something, we mean that we're not sure. But this is speaking about a sure and certain hope, the hope of the glory of God, the prospect, the sure expectation. And it's one which we will not be ashamed of. We won't be at the last day find that we hoped for something that wasn't real, that we put our confidence in promises that are not realized. That can be true of the word of man, promising what he cannot or will not deliver. But that's not true of the promises of God. And so this hope maketh not ashamed. We look more closely next time at what this assurance is and how it is to be sought. But let us be firmly convinced for the present that there is such a thing as assurance of salvation. That we are not to settle for going through life without that assurance. We should seek after it and seek to know that we're in a state of grace. And of course, as Reformed people, we know that the Bible teaches that if we're in a state of grace, we'll stay in a state of grace, and therefore we can be assured of heaven. This assurance is not for those who believe the tenets of Roman Catholicism, which keeps men suspended in uncertainty, nor is it really for Arminians who might come to assurance of being in a state of grace now, but have no basis for believing that they'll still be in a state of grace when they leave this world. But this teaches us we can be assured that we are born of the Spirit and our sins are forgiven, and that we will be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last.